listening and have a dope day.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to What Would Kay Say? I am your host, Kay Edwards. If you're joining me for the first time, if you're a seasoned listener, or if you're catching this show on a replay, I say welcome to all of you. I am so happy that you decided to give me 60 minutes of your time to hear the word of the Lord. To God be the glory always. So, I like to dive straight into this show this week because we have a lot to cover. And I think it's an important topic. We touched upon it the last time we were together. And we spoke about what it meant to be created in the image of God, Imago Dei. So we looked at what an image was and what God looks like. So today, I want to take it a little further. And I want us to continue our journey and to look at how we can identify the goodness of God in others. So today's topic is how to see Imago Dei in others. So now, when we spoke about an image, because we broke everything down so we could have a clearer understanding, we said that an image could be a painted picture, a sculpture, a photograph. They can all depict an image of something, but the living God, our living God, he needs a living image to depict who he is. And that is the reason why God created us, a breathing, living being capable of being God's representation here on earth and having an ongoing relationship in everything that we do. And I also mentioned the last time that we were together that when we walk, we're supposed to be representations of Christ at all times. Now, I know that's a little difficult. I know it's difficult at times that to always put that part of us first, right? Because we have to let those of us who don't know God, we're the closest image to him in the physical realm. So that's why it's so important for us to know what God looks like so that we can replicate that image in us here on earth. And that's what keeps us focused on being able to project that image to others when we keep who he is first and foremost on our minds. And most importantly, we got to be able to recognize that image in others as well. Because isn't that what we're supposed to do? To be like Christ, we have to be able to recognize that Christ died for everyone, right? He came here for the sins of all. So we can't just look at it as, oh, he only came for my sins. He came for everyone's sins. Whether they want to recognize it or not, it still is truth. So when we look at others, we need to look at them through loving eyes, because we said God is love. And we also said that love is kind, it's long-suffering, it's never envious, it doesn't provoke, you know, it doesn't like evil. Love is patient, it knows truth, it bears all things, right? And lastly, it endures all things. So all those attributes of God, as he represents love, we too need to take them on for ourselves. But God is more than just love. God is faithful. God is merciful. God is generous. And God is forgiving, right? That's the one part that we always have to remember, how forgiving he is. And most importantly, God is holy. So God has and will continue to keep his word to us, right? He said that the mountains would pass away before his word failed, and everything he speaks would come to be. His words would never return to him without completing what he sent them to do. So how about your words? Are you faithful? Do you keep your commitments? And as a Christian, we must be people of integrity and deal with one another with integrity. Otherwise, how would anyone else know how awesome God is, right? If we have a shady character and we're supposed to represent God, what we're showing other people is that God is shady? Of course not. God, we know that he's not, but when we act as though, when we do certain things, but then want to run behind, but I'm a Christian, or you know I'm a Christian, or we can't do that. We have to, if we're going to walk and we're going to talk and say what we are, we have to be that representation all the time, right? Because think about it. That's what got the Israelites in trouble before. If you remember, well, some of you might not, but if you go back into the archives, you'll see I did a series on the minor prophets. And when going through the books and the minor prophets, they were continuously letting the Israelites know what they would doing wrong in the name of being Jewish, because they were the first ones to say, I represent, or not represent, what they would say is, I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were quick to say who their God was, but also quick to swindle you out of something. The way they used to treat the widows, the way they used to treat women, just in general, they weren't able to have property, the way men would disrespect their wives, the way they would be trying to take each other's property behind each other's backs, just the little schemes that they used to do, and the idol worship. Let's not forget the idol worship. God was constantly telling them, hello, if you say you worship me, why are you acting like this? Because I don't act like that. So they were always getting in trouble for doing things that they should not have doing, had not have been doing, while saying they serve the Most High God. So when you think about it, we don't want people to look at us the same way. We want people to be able to look at us and say, oh, okay, there is something different about them. There is something that I would want. Why do they act the way they do? Or why is it that they can have the disposition of feeling the way they feel, knowing or even going through the chaos that might be going on around us? And to take it off us, we then have to look to see if we can see the image of God in others. So when we look at others, we're going to have to measure them by a lens that we want to be measured by, right? We have to allow people their journey, because we all have our own journey as well. And when I say that, at times it can be difficult, because when you first see a person, the first thing you're seeing is that sin nature. You're seeing what the effects of the world had on that individual. So that's what they're giving out. Sometimes it can be disguised. Sometimes it could be, oh yeah, they're so nice and sweet, until something happens. And that could be with all of us, because a lot of times God is working with us as individuals. So yes, we could portray that sweetness in the beginning up front, but then quickly revert to something else if God hasn't worked stuff out of us the way that he should have, right? If we don't, let me put it this way. God could work out of you whatever he wants to work out of you, okay? I don't even want to give the impression that God cannot work out of you anything that he wants, because we know that's a given. He can make you do, have you do whatever it is he wants you to, because he controls the hearts of men, right? What I should say is, if we don't give our will over and surrender and allow God to work things out of us, because God is never going to cross the boundaries of your free will. He's not going to do that. He's not going to force you to worship him. He's not going to force you to be kinder to your neighbors or your family members. He's not going to force you to do that. But he will give you subtle reminders. He starts out with subtle reminders. And sometimes he'll just slap you in the face with it. But it's either way that he gives us the message, it's for us to accept it and say, ooh, do I want to change? Or, they got to deal with it. It's everything always falls on us. So it's easy for us when we get in Christ to forget that God is still working on us in our own little areas. And we could become judgy, right? We don't allow other people to have their walk. It's easy for us to discount and prejudge from the mistakes that they've made in the past, right? Because the Bible tells us in Matthew 7, seeing the speck in their eyes, but not paying attention to the plank in our own eyes. I mean, when you think about that, just think about that image, right? And that's what I love when Christ says things, because he said them. And it was no way that when he said it, you couldn't understand what he was talking about. When he said, seeing the speck in someone's eye. Now, when you think of a speck, it's tiny, right? A speck is tiny. But then he said, but you don't pay attention to the plank. Now, a plank is a large board, right? So in other words, how could you possibly see the speck in their eye when you got a plank in yours, meaning that it totally blinds you, but yet you can pick out the faults in others? So that's something he wanted us to be mindful of. So quick to want to judge others while we're still being worked on just like they're still being worked on. Because would we want God to judge us for all of our past mistakes? Or let's just put it this way. Would we even want God to judge us for our mistakes that we made today, that we're going to make today? Not even thinking about the past, because everyone wants to run back to the past and say, oh, you know, that was my past and, you know, I'm not like that anymore. Or you want to look at somebody and be like, oh, well, I remember when you used to. Yeah, but we know Christ died for past, present and future, because God sees what you're doing now and he knows what you're going to do next week. He knows what you're going to do next month, next year, 5 years from now. So if Christ died for all of those sins that you aren't even aware that you're going to do. And that's one thing that we have to keep remembering too. And that's why I say this Christian walk is not for the faint of heart, because you have to pay attention at all times about what you're doing. And it's not like I'm saying you have to be so robotic that, oh, I can't make a move without thinking. But yes, when you have your priorities in order, then that helps you navigate how you do this walk. What's most important to you? When you think about it, is what's most important to you pleasing God? Or is what's most important to you to please yourself? And when you make that distinction, then you're just going to follow the road which leads you to either one of those points. So when you look at others, you have to look at from where they're coming from as well. If their ultimate goal is to please themselves, then yes, that's what their journey is, and that's the way they're going to behave. But that doesn't mean that they're still not created in the image of God. Everyone is created in the image of God. They're just still living out their sinful nature. And I know when I say all that, it's like, well, what do you want me to do with that? What do you want me to do if they're acting like? You can't control what someone else is acting like. You can't control them, because we're all in control of ourselves. You can't control what they do, but you can control how you react to what they do. And that's the sweet spot. Controlling how you react to what they do, right? And we're going to have tough times, right? When it comes to people, we have to grant them the benefit of the doubt, because we all have to walk our journey. And we too had to learn how to walk our journey. Some of us are still learning how to walk in our journey, right? We trip, we fall, we stumble, right? But we still get up, we brush ourselves off, and we keep moving. And we have to allow others to do the same. So when you look at them, and although they might not look like Imago Dei to you, if you keep that in your mind, you know what? We're all created in the image of God. So I'm going to give you that. And then I'm going to deal with you how I see that it affects my spirit. Now, in some instances, it might just mean walking away from people. In some instances, it might mean, you know, I see that you're created in the image of God. I know that you're created in the image of God. No, let me correct that. I might not see all the images of God coming from you, but I know that when God looks at you because of Christ, he looks at you and he sees the image that he created from the foundation of the earth. So he sees you in your perfect form. I don't see you in your perfect form right now because you're in the world and you're doing worldly things, or you're acting out how the world would have you act once sin entered into the world. So I then have to make a conscious decision. How am I going to deal with this individual? I'm going to still deal with them, showing them the image of God in me. I'm always going to keep that representation, because I'm not going to allow what they're doing to change what I'm putting forth. But it also lets me think about how to maneuver, what to say, what to do. And if it means cutting some people off, then we have to cut some people off, right? Because think about it. I'm going to tell you a story. When Stephen was being stoned for preaching Christ, right? He started out from the beginning to show the people how long Christ had been in their lives from the beginning, right? So that they could recognize Christ from the beginning. And after they heard what he said, he started out talking about Abraham and Moses and Joshua and how the people were rebellious against God. And he told them what was to come, right? And when he told them all that and they were listening to what he was saying, they kept getting angry. They were getting angry with the words that were coming out of his mouth. And they wanted him dead. So this is what I want you to hear. We never know who's watching us as we're living out our lives for Christ. And you will have people that when they see your walk, they don't like you for whatever reason. You didn't even have to do anything to them. They don't like you. Just your mere presence showing up is annoying. It's just they don't want you around. And don't start opening your mouth speaking truth. Then they really don't. They really don't want to be bothered with you. That's their spirit. That's what they're putting out in the world. But you also have to be careful that there's always someone else that's watching that might not be in the realm of, well, I can't stand them. They might feel a little agitated by you, but they still are watching everything that you do, right? And I give you that example to say, as the people were hating on Stephen, saying we should kill him, we want him dead, shut him up. What is he talking about? We don't want to hear about this Christ person. And then how dare he take it back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? How dare he talk about Moses? How dare he talk about how we were rebellious? How dare he speak of all these things and then tell us what's going to happen to us later? How dare he? Who does he think he is? They were placing their coats at the feet of a young man. And this young man, his name was Saul. Now, Saul witnessed everything that was happening to Stephen. He witnessed him standing there, how he stood in the crowd, still standing firm, speaking his truth, even though the people were heckling him, probably cussing him out, probably spitting at him, probably starting to throw things at him, just calling him every name in the book. But Stephen still stood there and held his ground and gave the truth. So now we have this young person, Saul, witnessing everything happening. And as the people began to really stone Stephen, he saw him calling out to God as the people were killing him. They're throwing these giant stones at him. And in his last breath, Stephen cried out to God to forgive them right before he died. So this young man, Saul, because he was in the crowd, he was with the people, he felt the same way. He grew up to persecute the church, right? He went after those who were speaking just like Stephen. He was dragging them out their houses, wanting to put them in jail, killing them because he felt just like the crowd felt, until he had an encounter on a Damascus road. And that encounter changed his world and our world forever. So you just never know who's watching you, who's listening to you, because that guy, that little guy, Saul, who had saw all the hatred and the anger, he also saw the steadfastness of Stephen sticking to his truth. And he, after encountering Christ on the Damascus Road, was changed and Saul became Paul, the greatest apostle of the Bible. So I say all that to say, when you're giving your truth, when you're walking in your representation, Stephen never wavered and looked at the people as, you know what? These people don't care about nothing I'm saying. They don't care about Christ. Let me just keep it moving. No, he was like, I'm going to be who I am. I'm going to do what my purpose was. I'm going to give you what this word is because you're going to need this. Even if you don't want to hear me right now, one day you're going to need this information. And we see there could have been others in the crowd that changed as well, but the Bible hones in on the story of Saul because he was that young man that was there, witnessed all of this, heard everything that Stephen said. And even though he still grew up to do what he did when he was confronted by Christ on that road, and Christ just asked him that simple question, why do you persecute me? And I'm sure at that moment, he had to think back, hearing everything that he heard that Stephen had said to the people, and probably what he had heard had what others had said. But I'm sure it was what Stephen said to him that really stuck in him, because not only did he hear what was being said, but he witnessed what the people was doing as well. So in that one moment when Christ encountered him, he had to remember all that, everything that he had saw, everything that he had done. So that's why when we walk and we are that representation of Christ and God to the world, we have to stand firm in our truth, because although they might be exhibiting characteristics of the world, you just never know whose life you're going to touch, because we have to always look at everyone as being created in the image of God, even though they might not be displaying it at the time. So with that, I think it's time for us to take a music break. You've been listening to What Would Kay Say here on Radio Free Brooklyn, what Brooklyn sounds like.
Brother, we're together in this war, and we're side by side as kingdom come. Brother, when the lies attack the truth, you sharpen me and I'll sharpen you. Brother, we don't fight this fight alone. Christ lives in us and he's on the throne. Cause there's long days and hard nights, but we're a one heart. One mind, we're brothers in Christ. We're brothers,
brother. When temptation comes, our mind is involved. In one accord, brother, when pain grips my heart, yes, you're my shoulder to cry on. Whoa,
is this brother, long days,
brother,
brother, brother, brother.
Cause there's long days.
Taught me patience. I'm cool. Cause you're the foundation. Remember the time that I wanted to rush it, skip all the lessons and just get the blessing. Oh, you taught me patience. I finally left behind those childish ways of mine. Lord, I'm leaning on your time. It's better, better than I imagined, better than what I was asking. You are my dream, you're my passion. Oh, finally left behind those childish ways of mine. I love the story that you're writing. In a life is worth the living. Sometimes you gotta wait. All the dreams that you've been dreaming, keep on living.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You have been listening to What Would Kay Say here on Radio Free Brooklyn. The music we just heard, of course, at the top of the hour, we started out with Making Changes by Grace. Then we had Brothers by Bryce Davis, The Plans by We the Kingdom, and Worth the Wait by Terrain. So now it's time for the part of the show that I call Op-Ed. And I want to give you the scriptural reading of the story that I told you before we went to the music break. Our scriptural reading comes from Acts 7, 54 to 60. And the reason why I'm giving you the scripture reading, I could have just gave it to you and told you to read it by yourself. But I want you to fully understand the presence that you give people when you represent God. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God and said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And he said this, he fell asleep. Now, blessed is the reading of God's word. But my point in telling that story and giving you the scripture account of it, that is, was to remind us that we must see the good in everyone that we encounter. Because remember, that's what we're talking about today, seeing the Imago Dei in other people. So we have to remember that we have to look for the good in everyone that we encounter when we're teaching the gospel of Christ, when we're walking around as the representation of God here on earth, when we are here to show them the goodness of God. Because we never know what God's plan is. And we don't know the part that we play. All we know is that we have to do our part so that God could get the glory. Because God will get the glory. And it's not for us to determine when the glory will be given to God or how the glory will be given to him. What we must remember is that everything that we must do believing that in the end, God is going to receive the glory. And he can use our services any way that he chooses. Whether we're martyred, and not that most of us will be martyred, but whether we are or not, we still have to have that forgiveness in our heart, right? Because we don't know how it's going to affect others. We just know we have to play our part and do what it is that we have to do without even thinking about how people are going to disrespect us or mistreat us or wish bad things about us or curse us out or hurt our feelings or any of those things. Because all those things take place every day, right? All those things take place every day. But we still have to continue to do our walk, to walk our journey, because in the end, it's all for God's glory. But I'm going to tell you something. Yes, God is love and God is forgiving and God is merciful and he bestows grace on everyone. But I'll also tell you, God don't sleep, okay? He's not a pushover. And for us to walk as Christians is not for us to walk as pushovers, to walk as doormats. No. We can still get the point across. We can still be who we are in love, but still standing in our truth and standing and being firm on what we believe. Because when we do that, if they don't accept anything we're telling them, if they don't want to be bothered with us, we can then with a clear conscience walk away. And that's why I said you would can then understand if this person still needs to be in your life or not, if that situation still needs to be in your life or not. Because the word of God is truth, right? And Matthew 10:14 tells us, and whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Right? Now, I hear those who read that book, who might have read Matthew 10, those Bible scholars out there that you are, you're saying that when Jesus said that to his disciples, he was talking about other Jews. He wasn't talking about just people in general. He was talking about when they go to other Jews and talk to them that if they don't accept them. Listen, this is why it's important that you read your word. Jesus sent the 12 disciples out to preach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yes, telling them that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And when you're speaking to people, aren't you speaking to people that are in your tribes, right? Because the majority of time when we encounter people, we're dealing with people from our own tribes. We're dealing with people in our family, our coworkers, our friends. A lot of us aren't sent on a missionary field out on another part of the world. Although sometimes when we're talking to people right there in our household, we feel like we're on a missionary field, right? But most of the time when we're speaking to people in our own tribes, right? Because he says, start with your household first. And that's why, as we walk this walk, looking for the image and God of others, we have to remember to be generous. Generous with our time, our wisdom, our truth about God. Because telling the truth is what's going to get people to recognize who he is. And we have to tell the truth the way God's word states the truth. We can't make the truth fit what we want the truth to be. That's why I say when you're doing this walk, when you keep foremost in your mind, am I here to please God or am I here to please myself? It helps you in which direction and your actions of what you do in order to reach whichever goal it is that you set before you, right? So when you know that you're here to please God and you're doing everything as God has told you to do, you're following the steps that he's ordered for your life, you're speaking in truth, speaking in love, although given truth. When it comes to where people don't want to be bothered with you or no longer want to be bothered with you, you can do what Matthew 10 says with a clear conscience. Because you know that you've tried everything that you possibly could to live peaceably with these people. And if you can't, then that's when you walk away. Because it's not there for you to fight or argue with them. It's just for you to show them. And then eventually, like we heard from Acts, eventually when God wants to tap them on the shoulder, he can, because then they can't say that they weren't aware of what was happening because you were that representation and you showed them, just like Stephen showed the other people, just like Stephen showed Saul, right? And with that, I see that my time is growing short. We do have our word of the month, which is repent, and that is to feel or express sincere regret or remorse about one's wrongdoing or sin. And we see that from the story, from the scriptures that we read today, Saul did feel remorse and regret for what he had done to the people that were Christ followers. Because when Jesus encountered him and asked him that question, he had to think about what happened to Stephen. He had to think about the words that Stephen had said from when he was a young boy and then look at everything that he had done. And that, again, just to reiterate, is why it's so important that when we give that representation, when God taps them on the shoulder, they're not turning around to God saying, well, so-and-so was doing. No. When they hear him, when he confronts them, they need to be aware of everything that they heard, saw, was the truth about him, right? That's why it's so important that we walk in truth. We walk in love. We walk in mercy. We walk with forgiveness. All those things, because we are showing the people what God is as we walk this earth. Our promise for this week is going to come from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, this promise is something that we could really hold on to every day. Humbling ourselves. That's a task within itself, right? Because, like I said, when you set your priorities, setting your priorities helps you navigate this walk of being a Christian, navigate this journey that you're going through when you set your priorities. And if you have your eyes focused on God and what's pleasing to Him, it's a little easier to humble yourself than if you have your eyes set on what you want for yourself and want God to come along with what you want. Because then you're not about humbling. You're about, I need to get what I need to get, and that's all I'm doing. But when we humble ourselves under God, giving our will to Him, letting Him work out all those things inside of us that should not be there, the word right here says He'll exalt you in due time. Meaning, because the flesh always wants to be recognized. The flesh always wants to be recognized. But it's not for us to be recognized. Because when we're walking this walk, being a representation of God, it's God that we want to be recognized. It's not us. We don't want people looking at us to say, oh, we are. No, we want them looking at us to say, ooh, look what God did. That's what we want them to see. That's what we want them to feel. We don't want them looking at us at all. So when we bring everything that we have, giving it to them as God, allowing Him to use our life in the way He chooses to use our life, in due time, He'll exalt us. And when we give Him all our worries, right? Casting our cares, because to care is to worry. So when we give Him all our worries, He takes them all and He takes care of us. So that's a promise that we can really stand on for this week and going forward, right? So with that, I'd like to say, everyone, have a wonderful rest of your day. Have a wonderful week. And be kind to one another. Remember, you are the Imago Dei. There are others. Everyone is the Imago Dei of God. We just have to take the time to see it in one another. Give each other our space to walk our journey, to make our mistakes. Remember, the speck in the plank. Every time you want to look at somebody and be like, oh, I can't believe. How could you even see to say you can't believe? How could you even see? Because what Christ said, that plank that's in your eye, how can you possibly see that speck that's in theirs? And when we keep that in our mind, that helps us to keep ourselves humble before the Lord, because it's, how are we going to criticize someone else if God is still working on us in certain areas? Now, yes, the one that we might want to criticize them about, oh yeah, we might have already conquered that, so we feel. But who's to say there's not other things that God is still working out in us? Because the one thing that He's definitely trying to work out of you is the fact that you're so easy to see something else that's wrong with somebody else. Now, He's definitely trying to work that out of you. So it's a walk. It's a journey. You got to take it day by day, step by step. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, because we were all born into this world in sin, and it's not going to leave us overnight. But like I said, when you keep before you what the goal is, it makes the journey that much easier to walk. So with that, I say once again, have a wonderful rest of your day. Enjoy your week. And until God brings us back together again, peace.
I praise in the valley, praise on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure. I praise when I'm numb.
it's a simple matter. It's a simple matter. Oh.